Hello, hello. It's Monday. We're kicking off the week. There's so much stuff happening. If you're at home right now, that's okay. But I'm going to drag you up. It's Wednesday and Thursday. You don't know what's coming. We're going to talk about the coolest event. I love it. All right, 20 seconds. Christmas beers are coming. You're going to learn all about the coolest event. All right, 10 seconds. Getting excited. Hello, everyone. We're almost there. Christmas is coming, and that means that we get to cause trouble. We get to do a little bit of Revit, but you know what? Everyone's loosening up. And what that means is a great time to meet people and relax, have a bit of fun. And on that note, I want to touch upon something. About one of the coolest events that I've personally been to in architecture. If there was an awards, these guys would win it. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about YADA, the Young Architects Developer Alliance. I've already had some beers. Feels like that. Now, I've got Benny and Gareth here who can correctly tell me the name of YADA. Because what on earth is YADA about? And then we'll go into it. But first of all, Benny and Gareth, how are you today?
Hello, good. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for having us today. Yeah. It's a real pleasure to finally be on the show. Yeah. I've seen so many of the episodes and now we've made it. So we're definitely famous now.
You have made it. And YADA is the best event. Now, I think it's the Young Architect and Developers Alliance. I was just tripping up over my words. It was a tongue twister for me, but I love these events. Benny, first of all, before we talk about YADA, you know how excited I am. First of all, tell me about you two. First of all, who are you guys for anyone that's not met you?
So I'm an architect. I qualified back in 2016 and I'm currently a project director for Scott Brownick. So I work in the DDU department.
Yeah, and right. I'm Gareth. I run my own small sort of architectural business and I qualified just after sort of 2017. And we're both board members of YADA.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And Benny, I'm glad to hear Gareth as well. So you mentioned the board. Now, YADA is a pretty cool event, right? So what happens on this board? I'm dying to know in a bit. But let's hit on the head. What on earth YADA is first and foremost? Can you tell us about what YADA is?
So it's a networking organization for young architects and developers. So it's just trying to offer an alternative event to traditional networking. Yeah. It's not planned. It's completely free to attend. And it's just trying to get lots of people in a room, talking, conversing, meeting each other, and hopefully developing relationships to grow into their careers. And ultimately, the goal is to try and create a better built environment by working closely together. So that's what we're about. And yes, there's lots of drinks and canapes and funky venues. But yeah, that's the second part to it.
It's networking that's built by young people for young people. And so it's just there to have fun and just a good like testing place for young people to network.
I love it. And so there's two things. We're going to unpack what that means to network. Because at first, when I was like a part two, I'd be like, oh my goodness, I got a network. Does that mean I've got to go out and speak to someone who's a director and I'm going to be scared and they're going to look down at me and go, who are you? You're just a part two. And that's not what this is about. This is the YADA is a cool event. Everyone's friendly. I've had lots and lots of fun and speaking to the camera, honestly. And none of the things that we do on here are sponsored, right? This is the coolest event, full stop. And I love it. And I've been to a few of them. And Gareth's going to rumble me on that front as well.
Yeah.
Now, it's up to you two because you've curated this beautiful presentation. So rather than me butchering this, mumbling this, and screaming at the camera about how much I love it, which I do, it's true, it's the best event in London. Okay, I'll calm down. Would you like to go through that now and so people can see it a little bit about what it's like? All right, here we go.
Right, so YADA very much came, the name really came from YADA, 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 which is what we like doing, talking, conversing, getting to know each other. it also tend to fit quite well with the young architects and developers. And then by the alliance point, we got a bit, is it alliance? Is it allegiance? Is it something else?
Association.
Could be whatever, really. But it's the point of talking and conversing and meeting new people. So we started back in 2016, August. So the idea for Yada came really by two people coming together, having a conversation like we are right now. And those were Jane Duncan, who was the RBA president at the time, and Martin Evans, who's a creative director for UNI. So they came together. They all invited us in a meeting at the RBA. So it was a bit of a weird setup.
A call to action, almost a war room meeting of how we get young architects, young developers together. So it was, yeah, it was quite a, and I think everyone on the board was quite new to this. We were all like 25, 26 at the time and had no idea how to run events, but felt there was this enormous pressure to then perform in the halls of the RBA and try and pull it all off.
And I think probably not many of us had been at the RBA at that point.
Yeah,
so the kind of idea of walking in this like grand office with a round table, sitting down, almost like King's Arthur's knights of networking.
James
Knights at the table. Yeah, should have gone for that name instead. But there's us. So that's Martin and Jane. And then that was the original eight, if you like, that started. So there was four architects, four developers, all kind of similar age. Some of us knew each other before. I think generally in architecture, you tend to know everybody because you've either gone to university with them or some point or worked with somebody in the group. So we knew each other beforehand. And then really we just started talking about what's networking, what's the current format. And I think we all felt that traditional networking was very exclusive to a few. They were all paid events, so unless the company really went out their way to take you with another director and to invite you to socialize, to meet new people. It wasn't really accessible for kind of under 30-year-olds at the time.
I think there's also with developers and architects, I think they had different issues of networking with architects, maybe historically not actually being even invited to the meetings until they were 50 years old or they've got their own company or something. Developers were perhaps being invited, but feeling like they couldn't really express their own mind because they're with their directors and with multi-year staff. So we wanted it to be a place that felt more inclusive and that people could just talk openly and honestly about their frustrations at work and try to build a sort of mutual understanding between the two professions.
Yeah, and then I think we started brainstorming what kind of networking events do people go to? And then Martin said Thirsty Thursdays, and everybody was like, "What that? That sounds." So it started off with that seems like a cool format, but that's also very exclusive and by invitation only. So we were thinking we're going to do the same thing, but reverse it, and it's free for all. There's no like membership, no like exclusivity, and it's just about everybody going into a room, sharing a drink. And I think the first event we did, which was in a fire station, I think we all thought, oh, maybe we'll get some beers around and there'll be like 40 odd people, and then 500 signed up for a ticket and everybody was like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do now? We actually have to put it together properly. So that's how it started. And then I think we've done, 14 events now? And they've all been like really well attended. So they tend to be anything from 50 up to 500, really depending on the venue. But the format is quite simple. So we get, because we're building on this relationship between architect and developer, we normally get the architect that designed the venue and the developer who owns the venue to come together, put some money towards drinks and food. And then that's how we run the event. And then there's always a story behind the project, behind how the two came to work together. What was the collaboration? What were the ups and downs? So it's really trying to share an honest story for others to learn from and inspire the next generation to try and do something similar.
I love it. I think I've been to three of them now. And I was looking at the pictures earlier and I couldn't see myself. But yes, here we go. So I wasn't at the workshop, but it looks cool. This looks like the Fun Palace, if there's any Cedric Price enthusiasts here from before. I think it's amazing. But tell me, so this was the first one. You mentioned about getting it going. Now, I wouldn't know where to start, Gareth and Benny. Yeah. Like you said, I'm like, do we get some beers and go down to the park? That's like the extent of my party event repertoire. So I almost need to learn from you. So tell us how this one came about then.
Yeah, so this one, you and I, who Martin, that's where he's the creative director, they kindly gave us the venue and sponsored it alongside the architects of the project. And yeah, we really didn't know back then. I don't think we knew how much it cost to buy all this stuff and like how the event was going to go. And I think even the first one, we had security and we had all sorts of stuff like this because we had no idea inviting 500 people into a building, what was going to happen, and buying beers by the crate and not crates, actual pallets of beers, and moving it and how do you get them cool and all things like that. So it's a big learning curve for us all as a
all the things that happen in the background that you don't think about, the insurance and liability and what if this happens and that happens, doing a risk assessment, notifying the neighbors that you might get a bit loudy and noisy until later and that kind of stuff. And I think that the memory I have from this one is, so at the time there was something going on with Harry Potter because it was the whole craze of like owls and stuff. So as we were walking to this like fire station with big fire trucks, really cool place, and then on the side there was this guy that had loads of owls that you could pet and have on you. So it ended up being this like crazy event that people thought we'd arranged for the owl man to be there as an entertainment. The fact was he was just there doing Harry Potter. It was completely random, but there we go. So they kicked off with this idea of a bit of like, you don't know what you get. It's like a box of chocolates. It could be like sour, it could be sweet.
We like to try and keep it a bit random and to have unique things and not be too traditional networking and just have a bit of fun. This event, we ended up, it became a tradition from this event that if you're a director and you want to come to the event, you have to work behind the bar. So we had some of the top directors of all top architectural companies and development companies working behind the bar. And I think a lot of people didn't realize that at the event, that actually if you really wanted to get the best connection in the room, it was probably the people behind the bar. And I don't think anyone actually really realized it after the first one. But it was,
it's brilliant. Now, I must confess that since the first one I've been to, the one I've recently been, was at very comfortable in the bracket which he was aimed for. And now I'm just over. It's important to emphasize everyone can get involved. The key bit is that you wanted to get young architects and developers earlier in their career together, isn't it? Because I remember my directors in the architecture practice going, oh, we're going to movers and shakers this morning. And I'm like, what the heck is movers and shakers? Why can't I come along? So just to reemphasize that again, well, everyone's welcome. It is about, it is the event that like, if anyone was nervous about, oh, I need to go to an event, I think this is the most chilled out one to go to with some friends and meet people, right?
I think it's always good. You can go with your colleague, turn up and just find some of the board members. We're usually wearing YADA badges. We'll just introduce you to people. It's casual. People just seem to have fun and not want to. Yeah, I think inherently when you've been to a couple of the events, you usually get a crowd that's just very open and wanting to speak to each other and talk about what's going on in the industry, but also just getting to know each other for future development of your careers together.
Yeah. And I think we made a point about, I think because you mentioned about directors and stuff, I think sometimes when we've gone to events, naturally people always like stare at the tag that you're wearing and like just trying to look at what position you have in what company and how important you are. So we've tried to make a really big deal about not having any of that. So what we do is we have like dots. So like we have two, we pick two colors for each of the events. And then if you're a developer, you have one color. If you're an architect, you have another color. So we tend to do like red and green or whatever. People always say, why is developers getting the green dots? Is it because they got lots of money? No, it's completely random. It's not that won't fall through. It tends to be like actually matching colors of like people's like logos and things like that. But it really opens up the discussion because the point is to go and speak to somebody in a different color dot and try and create like a relationship. And actually when you remove the titles and the positions, it naturally happens a lot easier.
And I can see that. And I would think the opposite, because when I was a part two, I would get nervous speaking to the idea of a director. Oh, what am I going to say? However, everyone's just people, isn't it? So actually, I think by just going, hey, how's it going? then yeah. you get to meet totally different people. And my tip for everyone is that when you're at a networking event, you're always thinking, oh, God, how do I start speaking to someone? My tip is always be near the bar. And oh, yeah. Because you can go, hey, how's your evening? Oh, hey, do you want to get one? Oh, sorry, I'm in the way. And then you break up the conversation. And as you can see in this picture, you definitely have a few drinks and non-alcoholic ones as well. Yeah. It's not all, it's everyone's 2023. But I think that it's a very easy, chilled out environment to be in. I wasn't at this one, though. I was at Poultry Street, I think, downstairs.
So after the, so this is actually from the one that everybody's seeing on the screen is the Cold Drop. So that was before King's Cross opened. So the one with the curvy fancy room. Mm. So that was in the Arches. And we were incredibly lucky to get that one because at the beginning, one of our board members, Jen, who still works at Argent, was actually the development manager for this building. So we managed to get the space and it was almost like a sneak peek. So we had a really good turnout because there was a lot of things in the news going on about the event and this crazy roof that was being constructed and everybody wanted to know what it is. And we managed to get the space. So sometimes it's also about trying to give people a little bit like open house, but not so formal as well, which tends to attract a lot of people just interested in architecture and
the buildings,
and how the projects came about.
Talking points as well for people to discuss the architecture and the sort of built environment around them and what they like and what they don't.
I love it.
Yeah, and then we have Biscuit Factory as well. I think when you were asking earlier about what goes in planning these, I think my most memorable element of this one was trying to hire Portaloos. That was the one time where we felt like, at the time we were like, oh yeah, we're up for any space. And then it was like, there's no electricity, there's no toilet. So there was like a whole load of other stuff that went into planning to the background of that one. But it turned out really well. And we managed to get some food trucks as well. So that was quite cool. And it was very different because previously we'd always pre-ordered and we'd have canapes and things like that. Whereas because of the setup, this forced us to have more like stools and a village fed kind of setup rather than something a bit more pre-organized.
Excellent. I love it. And well, ordering porta potties, it's almost like a festival, isn't it? That's all you got to do is now with the green and the red badges, we get some little sticks, some glowy sticks, and we're ready to go. But I love it. And what's important, what's quite cool about this is all the venues are quite different, aren't they? I don't think. Have you ever done one of the same venues yet, or are they totally different pieces of architecture?
Yeah, they're all completely different. We try to find sort of unique sort of development sites, ideally. We've also had a lot of architectural companies who have got amazing offices that have opened themselves up as well. So we've had a mixture, but a lot of the ones we started off with were kind of construction sites that they've allowed us to have before the end user gets in there. And it's quite nice to see behind the hoardings and just show people what's going on with these sites.
We've also done collabs as well. We'll talk a little bit about our next event in a bit, but we have worked with, so we did a joint event with the RIBA, which was for Ben Derbyshire's presidency. So that was his launch party, which he just said, do you know what, I want to be like slightly different. I want to bring loads of like young people, want this to be part of my legacy. Yep. So why come and run it for me? And that was really cool. And we've similarly done stuff with the London Festival of Architecture and NLA as well. So we try and accommodate everything and everyone. So a lot of times people come to the events, have a thought and are like, oh my God, this would be really cool. Would you be up for doing a talk or would you be up for coming and co-hosting this with us? So we have done those as well. And yeah, so far everything's been new and fun and very different.
It's been brilliant. Now, this is the event I was in. So I was frantically looking earlier, like, where's Wally? And I couldn't find myself. But if any viewers afterwards find it, I will buy you a few drinks at the upcoming event where you can meet Benny, Gareth and me, which is at London Build Expo this week. Now, while we were talking, though, we've got an extra guest who's going to be joining us as well, who has parachuted in, put away his business for a few minutes to join us. So I'm really glad he's here. I'm going to bring him onto the stage. It's the third guest tonight. We're very happy he's here, who is Ben Richards. So, Ben, I'm going to bring you on the stage now.
Ben, you're live.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
You sound good. We can see you. You were the first person who's joined mid-show successfully on the Architecture Social.
No tech issues, hopefully. Hopefully that stays the same. Yeah. How are you doing? I'm late.
Don't worry. It's all good. I was just saying, I'm in this picture somewhere, Ben. So who knows? Maybe I'm there some point. We'll find it. But Ben,
I was actually in the BBC when you did it in the BBC HQ, or was it White City? I realized that I actually came to that event 6 years ago and actually didn't realize until you sent the slides to me.
There you go.
I was trying to do the same and play Where's Wally? Where's Ben?
Yeah, that's it. Ben, while you're here though, while I know you and I've seen some of the awesome architecture you do, also you do a little bit of development. You've got a few things going on, very entrepreneurial. However, for the guests that don't know who you are, can you just quickly tell us about yourself before we carry on?
Yeah, cool. So actually, I studied architectural engineering back in the days over in Cardiff Uni. So I spent 4 years doing that. Went on a slight detour straight out of uni into actually a completely separate industry, or whether you can call it an industry or not, but I play poker for a living. So that's probably something for another time. But after that, I went back and got a proper job with an architectural practice, worked there for 4 years, and then decided to go from sort of small scale refurbishments and small housing developments up to big beasts of schemes with the Berkeley Group. That's actually where I met Benny, actually, originally through one of the schemes that Scott Brownrigg were designing that I was the technical manager for. So yeah, worked in the sort of corporate life for 6 or 7 years and then decided to build my own property or do my first property development and as a sort of side venture, working for the Berkeley Group full time, managing the site on evenings and weekends. And then when I'd finished that, realized that was really what I wanted to do in life. So quit the Berkeley Group, literally refinanced the house that I'd built, went in the next week with a letter of resignation and saying, this is what I want to do. Really sorry, I'm off. And that's where I started my architectural practice. So I've been running Aura Architecture and Interiors for the last 6.5 years now. And shortly after that, set up a property development business called XP Property. And now there are a few other businesses alongside those that we call our ecosystem that all kind of feed into each other, all in the property industry, all in the architecture and design space and property development space. So it's been a busy 6 years.
Wow, you've done really well. I'm going to now, on that note, no one play against Ben on gambling at a yada event because you will lose.
I'm very rusty.
You've rumbled yourself. That could be a cool evening. Now I've got a quick question and then a bigger question. First of all, Ben, we talked about you got to have a red or a green badge. You're an architect, a developer. Which badge do you wear, or do you wear both when you go to a yada event?
I typically wear both, if I'm honest.
You're using all the badges up, but no, do you know what? You are both.
Not lying.
I know. I'm just teasing you here. You actually wear both. You have walked both lines. So you mentioned that you went to an event earlier, and I'm really glad you're here to talk about this event now. But tell me about how you got into Yada, especially when you got all this stuff going on. I'd love to know how you got involved.
Do you know what? The sort of 5 or 6 years ago when I went to the BBC event, it was when I was out networking probably three or four times a week, just trying to get to understand the lay of the land, who's doing what networking events there are. And I remember coming out of it thinking that was amazing. And then I actually got so busy and wrapped up in building the businesses that it wasn't really until probably 6 months ago that I went to the latest one, and it rekindled things with sort of getting back into understanding that network, speaking to Benny and remembering how good it is. And I remember walking into the room of probably 400 plus people. I could barely hear anyone. Over the noise, I could barely hear anything, but 90% architects, probably 10% developers. And it was just amazing going around the room and hearing everyone's stories. And the one thing that they would all say to me, typically, when I said, oh, I do both, most of them were architects. And most of them were saying, oh my God, yeah, that's really what I want to do. I want to ditch the clients and develop for myself. And to be honest, the things that I would say to them is, are you ready for that? Are you ready for that risk? Because it's very difficult. And I think when you're an architect on this side, on that side of the table, and you see potentially all of the money that's being made from the nice designs that you've created and the schemes that you've optimized and all that sort of stuff, you think, oh my God, I want to be that side. And I always give a really big risk warning because it's really tough. And a lot of people don't realize the design and the construction and the architecture side of it is only one small piece. Mm-hmm. Finding things, structuring things, financing things, the sales and marketing, building teams, it's very hard. Yeah, but Yard has really opened my eyes to, I think, helping certainly young aspirational architects and developers that want to grow into the space. I'd love to get more involved in doing the mentorship and helping people through the process that I've been through and opening people's eyes to the true reality of it. And I don't know if you've touched on the London Build Expo yet, but I'm really looking forward to the speed mentoring session that we're going to embark on in 2 days' time.
Yeah, maybe we can jump to that really quickly. What I'll do is I'll quickly bring up the website. So keep your presentation there 1 second. Sorry, Benny and Garrett. I'm destroying the order, isn't it? But maybe that's a quick segue to talk about.
It's organized chaos. It's fine. Yeah.
That's my kind of event. Right? But while we're on that note, because if you want to go to your first taster of a Yarder event, you get to feel the energy in the London Build Expo. You can see everyone here. So I've got it up on the screen now. Should we touch upon that event? Because, Ben, you're right. It's coming up on, isn't it Wednesday, isn't
Wednesday,
it?
Wednesday, so 2 days.
So it's something that we got a lot of feedback out of the COVID period of people saying that there's a bit of a lack of mentorship and within the industry, and that a lot of people would like that as part of what we do. So we took notes of that and felt that there was a lot of directors wanting to come to our events because they're cool. And we thought we could use them. Rather than just be behind the bar, we can try and use them to inspire the next generation of people. And we've had a lot of, it's been very popular with people wanting to be mentored by people. And we've had some, we've managed to get some really good names, mainly from Jane and Martin hunting down people and getting them to sign up to be mentors. And
promising free drinks and God knows what else. But I think it's about like, hearing other people's stories. And I think we mentioned earlier, for all the events, we try and partner up with some sponsors. And I think when we started thinking about this one, the first person that came to mind to both of us was Ben, because we've both heard of him. Ben does like an amazing live show going on every Friday. Big competition for you, Stephen, there, but some really interesting topics.
Yeah.
So we'd had all this like positive feedback about this person, that great boss, great like architecture, does surveys, does this, does that. And it was that kind of person that we want to showcase. Mm-hmm. And that's the person that people want to hear from, that's similar age to them, that's like doing his own thing, something that he's really passionate about. So it was almost like the perfect match.
Yeah.
And of course, he was kindly available at the time as well. So we thought, why not? And see how it goes.
Yeah, super happy to be involved, to be honest. I think the opportunity was a kind of no-brainer for us. And what sort of Benny's talking about there is a sort of third business that my business partner and I set up about 3 years ago. We were outsourcing our measured surveys to external parties and getting fed up with the speed and the reliability of those parties. So true to entrepreneurial spirit, we set up our own business called XP Surveys. So we do measured surveys and topographical surveys in London and the home counties at the moment, and we're aiming to go a lot further with that. So the opportunity to sponsor a group of young architects and developers for a service that is fundamental to that process was just too much to give up on, really. Yeah, we're super happy to be sponsoring the events and getting people drunk on the booze and feeding people for the few hours that we're there. But it's a very exciting proposition, and we're looking forward to it.
Fair enough. On that note, while we're talking, because if you're doing all that, we gotta bring up all your businesses and all this stuff as well. I'm gonna bring up.
You didn't prep me for this. No, I hope the website doesn't crash.
No, the website's fine, and we love your work. I'm gonna bring up the stuff there as well. Now I'm gonna the link in a little bit to your other business as well. You mentioned the XP, right? XP property. Now, I'm going to have to get that link, because it's not you that's not prepared. It's me. I think it's brilliant that you can showcase all the work you've done. And I think, there you go, what a fitted match, because you've done the architecture, you do the interior design, and you do the property development. While we were chatting, though, Ben, Matt says, what are the risks? You mentioned there's risks going into property development and stuff. Now, you can get the expanded answer in London Build Expo, where they can meet you in person. However, in my experience, I think, and I want you tell me if I'm right or wrong, I think sometimes grass is always greener, and we look towards what a development thinks. We don't see all the details. And sometimes like you said, design's one facet, sometimes moving away from architecture development. You're not designing per se anymore. You're design coordinating. And therefore, I think some architects go to it, miss that aspect, and can even come back. In your experience, Ben, why then is it risky to put a caveat on the move from architecture to development?
There are huge risks in property. At the moment, we're battling against interest rates that we haven't seen for 10 plus years. We've got a site which 6 units is completed. We've sold one of the 6, but we haven't really even had a sniff on 2 of the units in terms of viewings. That site is costing us £4,000 a week in interest in holding costs. And you know, that is the type of risk that we're dealing with. Every month that goes by, our profit margin is getting slimmer and slimmer. It's a good job we bought the site. We added value through that architectural process to give us that buffer. But I think a lot of people don't understand how sites are often structured in terms of the development finance that comes with that, the personal guarantees that people give. And this is something that is not spoken about enough. When you take a loan with a first charge development lender, most of the time, they're going to want a personal guarantee, which means they're going to look at your assets and liabilities. They're going to, if the site fails and there's not enough equity in the asset itself to pay down their debt, they're going to come after your personal wealth. They're going to come after your assets. They're going to come after anything they can to recoup that finance.
Yeah.
There's a lot of variables in property development, and some are completely outside of your control. And that's really what makes it high risk. It's very volatile. Not a lot of things have to go wrong for it to all fall down. Now, structuring and finding opportunities that stack up and give you that buffer and that margin is really what you're looking for. We always stress test our deals. So we look at a drop in gross development value by 10%, a build cost increase by 15%, and then a overrun of the program by 6 months. Now, we also look at that on a doomsday scenario. So what happens if all three of those things fail? Now, we don't make our purchase price offer where the doomsday scenario doesn't make a profit or break even. So our purchase price will always be, we'll run the stress test, doomsday scenario, this is the value that we need to purchase the property at for us to break even or make a small profit on that doomsday scenario. And that will be our purchase price. And we've missed out numerous times on buying assets because we've not bid high enough. And that's absolutely fine, because from a risk perspective, we stick to our figure and that's where it stays. Now, the amount of times, and Jack Holt, Jack, my business partner, always says about 3 sales fall through. Three sales don't even get to exchange.
Wow.
1 in 3, sorry. So what happens is he's the first person on the phone when it breaks down, and we pick up opportunities quite a lot. When we look back at the properties and developments that we've purchased, we pick up a lot of sites that have fallen through, and Jack's just been basically ringing the agent every day to understand if it's fallen through. And then we've picked up the contract and moved forward at the level that we were ready to offer and buy at, because at that point, the seller's often more motivated. They've wasted 3 months with this other person who hasn't been able to complete. And we are a safe pair of hands in terms of our track record. We've often got a good relationship with that agent, and when we can buy well. So there's a lot of facets throughout the whole development life cycle that is high risk. And you know, it's too difficult to say, this is the one risk in development, because there are so many and a lot of them are out of your hands. So it's high risk, but it also can be very high reward. And ultimately, you know, that's the name of the game. It's de-risking it for you as much as you possibly can, adding value where you possibly can. And that's what we try to do. And that's what we hope to have done over the last 5 years. But we haven't lost any money on any projects yet. You know, there've been some that have sailed close to the wind that we haven't made half as much as we thought we would, but touch wood, yeah, we've made money so far.
Very good. And I love to hear it. Now, I did bring up some links again, and we're going to run through them all at the end, but hats off. And I think all that information that you said, in this case, because Matt asked about it, we've talked about it, but all this information, as you quite alluded to before, how the heck do you find all this stuff? And I think that's the whole point about getting out there, going to these things, going to these events, speaking to people, getting to know people. I heard the other day that you should surround yourself by people who are doing similar things or entrepreneurial things or meeting people, because you learn the lessons. The Architecture Social is my third business. The first one was a fail. The second one was a fail. And this is the third one.
and I'm beat to bore people to death with a beer in my hand that talk about it. I joke around, but it's the kind of cool thing that you learn in these events. What do you all think? Is that right? Or...
Yeah, I think it's important to, I think in architecture, especially, you can quite often, developers don't always tell you all of this information. It's not necessarily needed to design buildings. And so quite often you'll have conversations where you're not seeing the full picture. And it's always, I think it's always good to know the reasons why you might not be able to have the most expensive brick, or you might not be able to do this or that. And you've got to try and work together a bit and understand.
Oh no. Oh, radio silence.
I said it was a slight risk that might happen.
I'm sure they'll be back. Yeah. I completely agree with you though. Like surrounding yourself with a network that is, you know, doing it out there. That's what I've been doing for the last 6 years. A member of where I've come from today in such a rush is it's called the Developers Club. It's a series of the room today was probably 16 developers, young developers under the age of 40 that are out there doing stuff. And this is one boardroom group of two, and they're there to support each other. We're all in the trenches together. It's what are you doing here? You've got cash flow issues. Oh, I've got cash flow issues. You've just gone through this issue in this borough of London with your planning application. Okay, won't make the same mistake over here. So surrounding yourself with people that you can sponge off of is just so important. And I think there's so much free available information nowadays. That's why Jack and I do our Friday lives. It's half an hour of this is what's happened this week. Here's the top.
Watch them after this.
Yeah, we love doing it. Like it's typically 7 to 10 key things that have happened in the week that we've either learned, achievements that we've gone through. We've just completed on a site in Muswell Hill on last Monday, which is one of our biggest schemes to date. We talk a little bit about that. Talk about business. We talk about business growth, how we've built teams, how we hire, how we... All of the sort of key important things that have happened that week, we just bring to a half an hour session on a Friday afternoon. And it's now a podcast as well. So we've taken the information, taken the video, compressed it down into a podcast, and it's getting some good traction, and it's free information from people out there doing it. And hopefully people like yourself can share it and we can grow it bigger.
I love it. Well, we'll be on there. And thank you, Ben. You're right. Benny and Gareth, sorry, you had the heart attack scenario then.
Yeah.
What happened, wasn't it?
Dramatic effect.
Yeah.
There is that millisecond of where I'm like,
still here and paying attention.
Don't worry. We talked about it before, so there's no problem. I just had the millisecond of, oh no, has my internet gone? But we're all good here. But yeah, so what I was going to say is these events are on now. They're really good. I don't know, Gareth and Benny, if you want to bring up your slideshow, because one or two more near the end were quite funny and comical and all that stuff again. But you would need to reload it now because we crashed the system. We broke the matrix. Or I messed it up or whatever. Who knows what happened? Let me bring it up here.
Can I just ask, what's the bell for? What have I missed?
I have got a bell because... Okay, I'll say it like... So I saw someone online have the bell, and I've got a soundboard, but the soundboard was a bit too much, right? But then this bell, I just think... I don't know. It just breaks the whole... I don't know, the vibe. So I used to call it my Bartlett bell because I started with it because one podcast... As someone was talking about the experience at the Bartlett, and I was going like that. Like, oh, here we go again. And now I've kept the bell. But Ben, for your podcast, what? Maybe you got a gimmick. You're a bit more tasteful than me.
We need something. Yeah, we do need something. Every time we change topic, should be something, a foghorn or something. Yeah, I don't know. I did actually get my marketing guy at some point to do some, because this you use StreamYard, yeah? This platform is StreamYard.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can do like gifs of you dancing or
Right.
Have you got some?
I've got some.
So I've been too nervous to do them. You can mind today.
You can quickly critique it. So my favorite one, I've got a few though, but this was quite relevant circa 2021, even though I'm not a big politician myself. And then I've tried to get a few memes.
Oh, we need some of this.
Yeah. So I've managed to get Frank Gehry in The Simpsons. That we thought that was quite architectural. How his little thing becomes a little masterpiece.
We need to share StreamYard tips, I think, because I'm missing out here, I feel.
Bit of Zoolander. Sorry, I'm digressing now. This is why you can't let me run the other event. I can just be there. See, that's the Bartlett bell going off. And they're working from home. That is the best. Yeah, that's probably me today. But you're right. I have got a few gimmicks and stuff. But I think it's about having a little bit of a laugh. And I think that's why
I think that's why I enjoy Yada as well, because we can be professional. One of the things I would be say, and I've always, disconnected earlier. So what? Mm-hmm. We're all just learning. We're having a bit of a laugh. And I think that sometimes one of the curses of some of my architectural friends is we worry about things being perfect. And I always think when you're networking or you're making impressions, if you build this thing up in your head, oh, I've got to make the perfect impression and all this stuff, then you create this impossible scenario. Yet most people are really quite nice and approachable. You just got to say hello or break the ice or whatever. And that's why I like it a little bit rough and ready or people disguise, because I think it adds to the realness. And the only last thing I'd add on that is when you see crits in schools, people write the script. They go, and my project is, and then it. And I think some people think about that kind of approach in networking. They go, hi, my name is Dave, and I'm a part to your architectural assistant. And just forget that all. Go and have a laugh. Be approachable. The worst case scenario is nothing. You're there. You get to know. And you've just got to go in the moment. And that's what I love about Yada as well. So I got you.
Yeah, I think that's spot on, to be honest, because I think ultimately, yes, you can do a really good pitch to win work and everything. But the reality is that I am a strong believer that ultimately people work with people they like. And if you get along with all this stuff that we do, whether it's like being an architect, being a developer, ultimately we're all passionate about building environments and creating spaces for people. And if you can't be yourself, that reflects on the end product. If you can't get along throughout the process, well, it's going to be a miserable 4, 5, 6 years, however long this building space takes to be completed, you're not going to enjoy it. The other person's not going to enjoy it. And the end product's not going to look great. And I think it's about those like moments of understanding each other, being able to be in the other person's shoes and working towards something together. And I think sometimes that gets lost in whether it's like contractual elements or like bosses talking about this and that and whatever. But ultimately, it's about people getting along and doing something they both believe in.
Yeah, sides, exactly. You got to get along. Yes, being a professional means you got to do some professional work, but you can have a laugh along the way. That's what my dad says. You can be friends as long as you deliver. It doesn't mean you can't be friendly. You can get along and have a try. Now, I know what's coming.
This was last Christmas. So we always try and do like a Christmas yard event. So this was kind of hosted by JTP. And that was the first one we did after the pandemic. So I think it was really popular because we had this big gap. And then we didn't do quite a lot of like online things, because I think we all felt that we're a lot about people physically meeting and talking and shaking hands and having a laugh and all of that. So yeah, that was really good. And then we did London Festival of Architecture, which is the recent one that Ben went to as well. You were behind the bar on that one.
Yes, I was more sober in this one.
Not by age, by choice, shall I say. You were really eager to be behind the bar.
Now, definitely by age and choice, right? I am now in the bar camp. But yes, I was more sober in this one. Not that I was a state in the other one, but I had to do some work. Although my colleague Hannah was working harder than me. I was trying my best, but maybe I would just go and walk around with the wine. I'd have a chat, but I had to. So that's me in the top left working. Now on the right, here's me at the start. Of the evening.
You seem to be on the side just talking.
That's right. Yeah. Hang on. I'm thinking if someone's getting their top up or whatever, right? On the right one, it was the other event.
Steve like serving, where it was like, Hannah, go behind the bar and serve the people. I'll just take a bowl of wine and it's one for me, one for you, two for me, one for you.
You know what? I tried my best, right? But you know what? Next time, I'll be a bit faster. Now, this event on the right, you can see in the top left, top start of the evening, I'm professional. And then on the right, a few drinks have kicked in the bottom, okay? And then the bottom left is when I'm with Acre Larry with a chicken on my head and I've had a lot of drinks. But it was such a good evening. I loved it. It was amazing.
We're going to see a repeat of the same thing this year.
Potentially, but I've got a lot of things I'm doing at London Build Expo, so maybe at the next 100% Yada one. But the collaboration, I've got to be on form, and there's a lot of really cool people including you going there, Ben. So I don't want to be like comes in the ruckus.
We've got different props for this year. So we've gone away from the chicken. So we're going to try something different. But the thing is, he doesn't have to know. So otherwise, it's not going to be spontaneous. So it's just like leaving the props there, leaving some drinks, and then he just goes and does it himself.
Yeah. And listen, and one quick thing. I went to this event. Okay, when I was working at the bar, and it was a good laugh. But the other end, I went on my own and I bumped into people I'd known from before. But even if I didn't, I met some new people there. I met some people at JT Peter's office. And this is the point. You just got to go to these things. And that's what I'm saying is, I'm not lying. This is a good event. It's the best event. Go to it. Look at me. Okay, don't look at the laugh.
It's a really good community as well. A lot of people end up coming and then they'll try and come to every single event. And you just meet people and you build that little community of people that help each other out and sharing of knowledge. And it's just about growing together in your career and having fun with it. It's about there's lots of difficult things in our industry, but sometimes it's good just to build that relationship and know that in a couple of years time you might phone that person up and ask for some advice or stuff.
I think so. And listen, we've covered a lot of ground right now. What I want to do is there's a little bit of Brook the Future, but there's the immediate future, which is Kent. Everyone should go to the London Build Expo and say hello. But just before we put the links where everyone can find Ben and Benny and Gareth, but where do you see the future of Yada going? I'd love to know.
Yes, we're looking to do 4 events a year in London. And try to make these events really rather than do lots of events, trying to stick it to the 4 events, make it the big event every 3 months, where we'll have speed mentoring, which is something we're trialing at this first London Build event, and have talks there and just make it a good just circus of fun to come. So you come to the event, and there'll be lots of interesting things going on with lots of really creative people, interesting people from the industry to just inspire you just to come in and just meet the nicest people you can in the industry and come out of it really inspired to push your own career or your business and just make them the top event to come to and make it a really inclusive environment for everyone.
I think
also trying to go beyond London, I think that's always been an ambition of ours. I think we're all based in London. Organically, everything we do has been London, but Stephen, we've both gone to Manchester, up the north. That's the next stage. But I think it's just finding other people that are passionate about doing it, trying to establish links north, south, wherever it may be. We'd love to be international. Maybe, who knows? Maybe after London Build, we can do, don't they do other places? New York, Chicago. I'd love to do that. But I think it's just trying to grow it. And every region, different kind of collaborations, different people that operate, have different models. So I think long term, we definitely want to try and go beyond London as well.
Excellent. I love it. I've been to them. You've seen my turkey heads knocking around and all that stuff. It is a really cool event. And I love that it's run by people passionate. And you're right. I think it will turn globally, but you need people to get involved. And I think if you are in London, you should definitely keep a track on all the events going. So I'm going to bring it up one last time here while we're talking, because you can come down to London Build. Now, I put this big event Right link, but basically if you go on Eventbrite or you go to Yada's website, and on Eventbrite if you type Yada, if you go to yada.builds for our audio listeners as well, you can basically find the link to the event at London Build Expo. And London Build Expo is free, so that's free, and the Yada ticket's free, so what better way than pop it down? You can tell your boss you're doing some work. It is a work event. You're actually going to learn a lot and you're going to have a bit of a laugh. Spend an hour or two, come down, all that stuff, and enjoy Yada. I think he's brilliant. And you get to meet Ben, and Ben's got lots to talk about, and he sponsors it. So when you're having a cold beer, you need to remember Aura Architecture and XP Property. I will. I don't know if I can drink, but I
want to use surveys. Waters.
Yes, XP Surveys and XP Surveys. It's got so much going on. I love it. But you got to come down to it. Yada is a great event. I'm sure there's other cool ones as well. It's one I've been to and I think is amazing. But quickly, I put the link up as well. Benny and Gareth, before we wind down, is there anything you quickly wanted to ask me? Throw the fire bat?
Yeah. What's your favorite thing about Yada? What do you think we can do better and make it? We're always looking to improve
better. Oh, this isn't the crits. I think it's pretty good. Yeah. I think you just got to keep going. The national thing will come. I think can't lose essence of what is, what I love is that unscripted feel. There's maybe a little bit of a talk, but it's all about the conversation. It's all about who you can meet in the room. It's all about providing good facilitating a place where there's awesome chats. And of course, it's okay to talk a little bit. It's like CPDs. You don't want to be locked in with a sandwich and listen to something for an hour. The best thing about Yada is you can bring people, you can meet people, and that's what I love. So as long as you keep that in its core, then the better. And I would like to see the percentage of developers going up as well. I like that it's architects. And I think there's something for there's a piece here for developers where it's really valuable. And I think getting that message out is really cool. I think that will be your challenge always, isn't it? How, because actually architects have an enormous amount of value. And I think a lot of developers know that, but how do they recognize it in the event? That's how it goes mega big, in my opinion.
Because I think it's an incredible place. As an employer, actually, going to these types of events and seeing the type of caliber of people that are there, it's a hotbed for us as both architects, architecture practices, and developers, because you're in a room full of industry leaders that maybe not be now, but in the future they will be, because they're attending these types of things. As soon as you walk in the room, the type of caliber of people in that room are going to be a set above the rest. I had on the image that you sent that you had up with your chicken turkey on your head.
Oh yeah,
the one in the top. Now I've forgotten her name, but at the last Yada event, she came up to me and said, "Ben, do you remember me?" I was like,
"Yeah, I remember.
I recognize the face, but I can't put the name." But she said, "You offered me a job in XP property 3 years ago. I turned you down for something else and I regret it instantly. I've been watching what you've been doing. I really love where you come from." And those types of, she was great. And I remember making her the job offer and would have loved to come inside a development business from an architectural background, because I want that kind of that design understanding, somebody that can then learn the sort of more commercial aspect of architecture and development to put the piece together, because I do think the development space is missing more of that, more of people that are interested in both.
Yeah, I love it. And that's the point, isn't it? You keep in touch with each other, you meet, and then at different points, maybe in the professional careers, maybe that conversation happens again.
He said she was off to Australia.
Maybe not that one, but the sentiment.
Yeah, Australia.
Oh yeah, she can start. But then you got to set up another foray of companies out there and learn everything else again. But I am confident you can do it, and I love to learn stuff like that. Although I don't want to gamble against you, Ben, because now I know your secret.
I'm glad you said that now.
That's out. However, Casino Royale night or something like the Yada, that is cool, man. With just a little bit of, I don't know,
I'd be keen for a poker charity poker event. I'm trying to actually push that with the developer club.
Charity poker, exactly. Doesn't need to be big serious money, but just a little bit of skin in the game.
Charity. It's all for charity.
Good exactly. Now I don't want to get Yada cancelled for gambling and stuff because I don't know the gaming regulations, but I think it's a great idea. Thank you, Benny and Gareth, for being here. I love Yada. And Ben, thank you for coming on as an actor.
My pleasure. Developer. Thank you.
We need that. It's the endorsement from both sides. And last time, people want to get a hold of you. Where can they find your stuff online?
Yeah, aurahomes.co.uk, xpproperty.co.uk, xpsurveys.co.uk. We're all over LinkedIn, all the social media platforms. But the big one I would say is head over to YouTube and look for the property. I think it's actually Ben and Jack, Business Property Entrepreneurs. We do a Friday live every Friday at 5 p.m. It's all the ups and downs of both architecture, property development, property investment, business in general. And we've had a lot of great feedback from those events. It's now a podcast called the Property Experts Podcast. And once you start following us, we should follow you around everywhere. So once you click one link, we'll be all over it.
My goodness, you sound like me. I just float around everyone and they're like, "Oh, that Welsh loud man again." Oh my goodness. But thank you for that. And thank you, Matt, for putting in questions and being the fourth guest on this episode. I really appreciate you all being here. Let me get the right link. That is an important link. They're all very important, but don't forget to register and check out Yada Build. I will be there. If you're nervous, come talk to me. But don't be nervous. Everyone's super cool and friendly. Check it out. There's going to be 4 events every year. I love them. I'll be working behind the bar, not very effectively, as you've learned, but I will be there. and you can come chat to me as well. So do check it out. And thank you all for being here as well. I'm going to end the live stream now, and I'll see you all this Wednesday. Thank you so much, guys.
See you Wednesday. Look forward to it.
All right. Take care.
Cheers, everyone.